I said, this isn't good. And the reason he was talking is somebody got into the sound booth and messed around with it. And so when you find him, let him send him to the assassin. But thank God we got the blessing. It all went well, and that was the first time I heard that song by that trio, the family. It was wonderful, and he is amazing, his grace. Praise God for that. This morning, I'm thinking of Scranton Revival Baptist Church and the members of this church and our main purpose, why we're here. And we are really a professional fishing boat, if you take what Christ did with the disciples. But instead of catching fish, we're to catch men. When I was down in Florida, I took my grandson out on a professional fishing boat. And we wanted to catch fish. You pay money and you hopefully catch fish. And the crew member said to me when we got on the boat, he said, his name was Matt, he said, you know, we've been out lately and we haven't caught many fish. And, you know, if a boat does that in their professional fishing boat, they're going to go out of business, right, pretty soon. I was on vacation. I wanted to be with my grandson. We paid the money. We went fishing and we wanted to catch fish. And thank God that we did catch fish that day. And at the end of the day, the crew member said, this is the best day we've had in a long time. And, you know, that's the way I feel in the church. We want to catch people. And we want to catch them with the net of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I went out yesterday and had the privilege, just knocking on doors and talking to people as they're out and about, to lead four different people to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. We went out Thursday night, and my partner went out with me. He himself led four people to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to say this morning that if you're left here and you're a born-again Christian, you're here with a purpose to fish for men, to catch men, women, children that need Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, that's your purpose. If you're not a believer in Christ, then your purpose for being here, it's not an accident, is for you to get caught and pulled out of the waters of judgment, because we're in the last days and God's judgment is getting ready to fall down upon the earth. And so I want to take you to John 21 this morning, because here you've got the living Lord Jesus who's been raised from the dead. That's why he's alive. He was killed, crucified, buried 3 days, three nights in the grave. Now he rose from the dead, and he is coming to his disciples. And I want to give you a message from John 21. It's called The Living Lord Jesus Brings You Back to His Purpose. The Living Lord Jesus Brings You Back. And please go to John chapter 21 and let's look at that together, John and chapter 21. It says there, in verse 1, and I'll just read verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. On this wise showed he himself. Now, the good news to us is, do you know that Jesus wants to show himself to us? Jesus wants you to see him. When we come to church, we see many different things, and hopefully we see nice things. I see the bathroom, ladies' bathroom fixed up. I see the front doors looking better. I see things going on at this church that show progress in the building. I see people, and they look nice, and it's good to see them. I see people like Barry, who came back today. I haven't seen him in a while. I gave him a hug. It's a blessing, but it's all in vain if the Lord Jesus doesn't show himself to you. You need to see him who is invisible. He is raised from the dead. Now he's ascended into heaven, but there is a way spiritually by the Spirit through the Word whereby you can see Jesus in the church. And I'm saying that you need to see him because he has a purpose for you being here. If you're not saved, it's because he wants to give you eternal life. You know, Jesus didn't come to send you to hell. You're doing a good job of that yourself. Jesus came to seek and to save you who are lost. And the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. Life doesn't begin when you die. Life begins the moment you're born again. I'll tell you what, I got up today and I saw the partial sunshine, knew the weather was getting up into the 60s, saw the birds and got up, and I can enjoy it. Why? Because I already have eternal life. I've had it since I've been 17 years of age. And I'm enjoying Christ. Life does not consist in the abundance of the things you have, Jesus said. It doesn't also consist in the abundance of the things you put in your mouth, physically. Man shall not live by that. He shall live by every word of God. And that's why you're in church. You're not in church to see some kind of production. You're in church to hear and be fed the words of God. And that's why I'm glad you're here, and that in doing that, Jesus can show himself to you so that you can do his will for your life. And he is not willing that any should perish, but that you should come to repentance, change your mind, and realize, yes, you're a fish swimming away from God, and you need to be caught and brought into the boat and be saved from the storm and the judgment that is fast approaching in this world. You're already saved. You need to really get his purpose, because time is wasting. We need to lay hold of his purpose. So he says, after these things, Jesus showed himself. But then it says in John 20, 24, notice this. By the way, there were six disciples here. In verse 2, Simon Peter was the first one. Thomas, called Didymus, which means twin, by the way, he must have had a twin. And Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So there were six of these disciples of Jesus Christ, trained by him for 3.5 years. And guess what? They were wasting time. You know, some of you are wasting time. You're just wasting time. You're just out there. And the Lord wants you to get back to his purpose. And one of these guys was Peter, and he was a very influential disciple, and he was leading other people astray, other disciples astray, by his wasting time. And perhaps you're here today, and you're wasting time, and you're doing bad things. You know you shouldn't be doing them. And you're leading other people astray. Right now in church, you should be sitting here listening. Right. And if you're not doing that, you're leading other people astray. You're distracting them.
Right.
And I'm just saying that God has a purpose for you, but we need to submit to his purpose. And Peter, of all people, he was such an influential one. He's the one that was leading all the other five astray at this point. Now, they were ready to be led astray. But he said, I'm gonna lead them astray. He said, I am going to go fishing. and so he's going to go fishing. You say, well, what's wrong with going fishing, Pastor? You went fishing down in Florida, and I did, and we had a great time. I mean, we had a wonderful time. I went fishing. Now, the guys that ran the boat, that was sport. That was not sport to them. They do it for money. And the guy that helped me with my fishing pole and helped my grandson and really gave me some great tips, and a guy named Matt, I gave him a big tip. I gave him $25 for my grandson and $25 for me, and he hugged us because I heard he lives on tips. That's all he gets. And the guy was really, he worked his tail off. He's a professional. I was a sport fisherman, but I paid money to get on that boat, and I wanted to have a good time. And so I listened to him. He said, when you let out your line, you're going to go down, you know, 100 and some feet. I forgot how far it was. Down in the Atlantic Ocean. We were on the South Atlantic. And I just let it down with a big sinker. It hit the bottom and then reeled it in a couple and locked it in right at the bottom. We were bottom fishing. And then he said, now, put your finger, your index finger, right here on the line. He said, a lot of people just hold the rod and they miss everything going on and they miss the fish. He said, now you have a round hook, not a certain other kind of hook. And he said, not a J hook or something like that. He said, you got a round hook. He said, when you feel that tug, that's him nibbling on your bait. He said, don't jerk it. He said, let it out. He's eating. He wants to eat. Give him the line. Give him the food. And then he said, if he does it again, keep your finger there, then don't jerk it at all. He said, do this. Reel it a couple times. And that will hook him. And then do him in. Well, you know, we were just catching these little fish, and they were using it for bait. But when I did that, I started catching these big red snappers. And people were even coming around me like, well, this guy's catching them. He's just an amateur, you know. He's catching these fish. He never goes out fishing. And some of these guys, they go out all the time. They're retired guys. I had a retired doctor. All these guys, they go out all the time. And I'm just catching the fish, man. And it's really great. Now, I'm not the only one that caught. They knew how to fish, too. But believe me, I wasn't the best fisherman. But I did keep up with them. And I was catching some, and I was respectable. And my grandson, he was going for the big one. He got into a 200-pound shark, and he fought the thing. He's 11 years old. He fought it for 15 minutes. He's like, and finally, the guy that was the crew man, Matt, he said, you want me to help? He said, yeah. He took it, and he tried to move it up to the front. By the time he did, that big old shark was coming to the surface, snapped that line, and it was gone. But what I'm saying to you is that there's a skill to catching fish, and God will give you that skill, and Jesus wants us to catch people. And just like that professional fishing boat, if they don't catch fish, they're out of business. And if a church isn't getting people really saved and baptized and out of the world, then they should go out of business. They're not accomplishing their purpose. And you're a member of the crew. Each one of us is a member of the fishing crew. Now, you say, what'd you do when you got those fish? I took them, and I had Matt, the guy that's the crew, fillet them. How many have ever filleted a fish or heard of it? Okay, he filleted them. You never tasted fish as good as this. He filleted them and put them in a bag for us. And I carried them home to my daughter. She put them in the freezer. My daughter can cook. Man, can she cook. My wife made coleslaw. Potato salad. Corn on the cob. And my grandson said, Papa, that's what he calls me, Papa, let's do this tonight. And he goes, hey, you know what? When I get to be 30 years old, I'm going to buy a boat, big boat. I'm going to take you out, Papa. I said, I hope I'm around for that. That'd be nice. I hope so. But he said, and then we said, my daughter just breaded those fish lightly with whatever she put on, put those things in a frying pan. Be my witness, were they the best thing you ever had? They were delicious. With the corn on the cob and everything. Ah. I just love that food. And I love it when people get saved. I have meat to eat that ye know not of, Jesus said. And that's people really getting saved, getting born again. And, you know, we just saw the Majeski family. That's like, you guys are like fried fish. I mean, what I'm saying is, it's tasty to see the grace of God. I'm sure Pastor Morgan delights in you guys. In fact, when I was at your wedding, Bob and Angela, I sat down with Pastor Morgan. We ate together, and he said, you watch that family now. They're coming to your church. They're going to be used in your church. I was like, okay, I listened to him. And he was right. He knew what he was talking about. Pastors know what they're talking about. When you have people saved, it's catching fish. And it's related to that. Jesus used that to help you. So I'm just saying to you this morning that you're here for Jesus to show himself to you in the Word of God that I'm preaching from, so that he can show himself to you personally. Maybe you need to get back to your purpose. I believe Peter was discouraged. He was discouraged. He was leading other people astray. Maybe you're doing bad things, but you're discouraged. And Peter was a believer. He was going to heaven, but he was discouraged. Why? Because he said, I'll never deny you, Lord. And he denied him three times. Remember that? And Jesus looked at him, and what did Peter do? He just started weeping. Man, he was so broken up. I failed you. I failed you, Lord. That's what he felt. And he felt like he was a failure. And that's why he went back fishing. That was his business. Now, the Lord had trained him to be a professional fisher of men and to lead in a church being a fishing boat and in churches being fishing boats. And he was a failure. And so he said, my education was nothing. I'm worthless. He didn't blame the Lord. He said, I'm just junk. Perhaps you're here today, you're a believer, and you've been failing the Lord. Maybe it's some sin in your life. Maybe it's some trial that you've had. You had some kind of opposition for what you're doing. And you feel like, I've just failed. I'm just worthless. And you're wanting to give up. I believe you're here today for Jesus to show himself to you and say, I don't care. I've chosen you to be my servant and to fulfill my purpose. And I'm here to get you back to your purpose. And that's what he was doing with Peter, because he had a purpose for, and you influence others, and he wants you to deal with your problems. I know you have problems, and a lot of people want to get behind their problems and hide behind their problems and say, that's why I can't fulfill my purpose. No, that's not why. It's because you're feeling like you're a failure and you're discouraged. And the Lord wants to encourage you. He doesn't want to beat you down. I'm not here to beat you down. And if you're not one of the Lord's disciples, and you don't know that you're going to heaven, the Lord wants you to know you're going to heaven. He wants you to have eternal life. That's why he died. The Bible says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you unto myself as a hen gathers chicks before a storm. And he said, but you wouldn't. That's how the Lord feels when you don't repent of your unbelief and come to Jesus with all your sin and say, Lord, save me. Take my sin. And he will. And that's his purpose. He's bringing you back to his purpose for your life. And he is showing himself to you for that reason. And when he shows himself to you, don't get discouraged and say, remember Peter, when Jesus showed himself to Peter and showed him how a miracle he did for him back in Luke chapter 5 and helping him catch fish the first time. Remember, Peter said to the Lord, he said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You ever feel like that? I'm a sinful man. Just, Lord, you don't need me. Don't work with me. I'm nothing. If you feel like that, God is showing himself to you that he's a friend of sinners. Jesus, he's God in the flesh, man. He's a friend of sinners. You say, oh, how can I know I'm saved? He said, you come to me, I won't cast you out. I won't cast you out. If he cast you out, then he's lying. Now, I got a fish in Florida. It was called a red grouper, a rainbow grouper. Was it beautiful? It was a big thing, and I wanted to keep that fish. But Matt came up to me, the crew member, and he said, now, this is out of season. We can't keep it. It's a beautiful fish, a delicious eating fish. We can't keep it. It's out of season. I'm like, okay. And then he's going to throw it back in, but he said, before I throw it back in, this fish has the bends. You know what the bends are? we get the bends. People, if you come up to the surface too quick, your lungs fill with air and you can't breathe and then you die. So he said, watch what I'm going to do for this fish. And he took a big, long needle and stuck it right in the fish into his lungs. And he said, held it up to my ear and it went pop. And that was the air coming out. He said, now let me throw him back in. He threw him back in. The fish just hesitated, then swam away. He said, that'll let him live. And I thank God that when you come to Jesus, he takes care of you. He'll never let you go. You might let yourself go. You might tell yourself, I'm no good, but not Jesus. He will not do that. And he wasn't going to do that with Peter here. And so I want to say this morning, the living Lord brings you back to his purpose, as we see here. And if you're not saved, listen, you're just distracting. But you know what? God is here. Jesus is here to say, even though you may be distracting, even though you may be doing your thing. I remember when I went to church as a teenager, I had a guy named James Gritter, who I saw on television a while back. He became very successful. James Gritter, he and I were in Sunday school. We sat together. And just to keep from being bored, when the Sunday school teacher would sing hymn number 54, we would sing hymn 55. The next hymn, at the top of our lungs, there at Seymour Christian Reformed Church. We'd say, and that was fun to us. But listen, I wasn't saved. I was missing my purpose. You're here to get back to your purpose, that you can participate with what the Lord is doing. And he shows himself to you, number one. Number two, he brings you back to his purpose by seeking you out. Look at John 21, and I am going to read verse 4 with you. Follow. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. You see, Jesus came there because Peter was discouraged and he was leading others astray. And so the Lord came there to seek Peter out, to get rid of his discouragement. Now, you're here today because Jesus, if you're not really a born-again Christian, he's seeking you out that you might be a believer and that you might work with him to do his work. You know, there was a time when I would not be caught in church if I could avoid it. But now I'm not only in church, I'm in his service, right? And so I'm just saying that Jesus is seeking you out if you're here so that you can be saved, so that you can help influence others to be saved, because Jesus doesn't want you to die and suffer in hell, and he doesn't want you to waste your life, and like I was doing as a young person. And so he went there, and he was seeking out Peter. Now, how did he do that? What did he do to seek him out? I want you to notice here, and let's go ahead to the next verse there. And it says in verse 5, and I'll read it. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, you know what? They had fished a long time. They didn't catch anything. But when Jesus showed up, he showed them where to throw the net. And you know what? I realize that Jesus is the one that helps us to succeed in what he wants you to do in the purpose. And he seeks to get your attention so that you can listen to him. And you know what? When I read this, I thought to myself, I go out visiting and I knock on doors on Saturday and I try to get people. And I have a number of people that I've been going to who have been you know, coming to church, and they're already saved, and they already get things from the Bible. And there's a little lady, she was right here, her name is Katie, and she just loves Sunday school, right? And she loves church, and she's getting things from the Bible. She got saved, she got baptized, and she'll run up to me. She'll just run up to me and say, "Pastor," and then she wants to talk to me. I don't know how old she is, what, 11, 9, 10? I don't know. But anyway, young girl, and but she loves the Lord. And I visit people and like that, and they get on the bus every week. They want to get on. And the Hillers, the little Hillers, they said, "Why didn't you visit us this week?" I said, "Because Brother Matthew told me you guys were coming. I didn't need to come. I'll see you at church." And but they wanted me to visit them anyway. But I do that. But you know what? I read that scripture, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat." And I know what that means because I've done it. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to this street and I'm visiting this place where we got a lot of people coming every week on Matt's bus. And we didn't get too many this week, though. We went on the other side of the street. And when we went on the other side of the street, there are these people and they looked familiar to me. They're carrying in couches and everything. And you know what? They said, "We're moving in." And the one guy said, "Hey, do you put candy up in Tungkanik?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I work at Coast Tire where you're up there, and we have your candy. We love it. And, you know, it's great." And he was very friendly. And I handed out tracts to the people. I told him about our campaign next week. And I said, "I'll visit you next week," because they were moving in. You know, they were. And I cast my net on the other side of the boat. And I said, "Lord, show me where to cast it." And he showed me. And he showed them. And when they cast that net in and they drew it in, man, did they get a lot of people. Same thing with Saturday. Eric, I had 8 that trusted Christ Saturday. And I was up at Dumont Mall, and there was a guy that goes to our church. He's on our bus, different buses he's been on, and he had a girlfriend. So I'm going to witness to his girlfriend, right? A little young to have a girlfriend, but I'm a witness to his girlfriend. So I'm telling her the gospel. And this other girl comes up. She's got a necklace and gives her a necklace. Real sweet girl. Bought her this pretty necklace. I said, "Oh, that's nice." And put it on her. And this other girl said, "I think I'm going to go to church." She said later, "I think I'm going to go to your church with her." But this other girl came up and she burped. You know, I thought, "Well, it's all right. Anybody can burp, you know." But then she kept burping. And I said, "Now this looks a little strange to me. She's burping all the time when I'm trying to lead this girl to the Lord. She kept burping, you know, burp." So finally I called her out and I said, "You know, hey, I'm trying to explain with you." She goes, "Well, I can't stop burping." I said, "But you can get out of here and go in the bathroom or something." I said, "You're being rude." I don't usually do that, but I just had to say, "You're being rude." I said to the guy, I said, "You know, if somebody in church is sleeping in church, or if they're not paying attention, I'll say, 'You're being rude, right? And by the way, you are.'" So I said, "You know, you're being rude." And she, right away, she turned, went to the bathroom. I thought, good, that's good. So I led this girl to the Lord, and she prayed to receive Christ. And the other girl that gave her the necklace was listening all the way through. And she said, "Well, I'd like to go to your church this next week, you know." So pray for those girls. But 8 different ones I got Saturday. We got 4 Thursday, right, Brother Eric? And it is such a blessing to be fishing. And I'm just saying that Jesus, I believe, was seeking out Peter in order for him to influence all the other disciples, right, to get back to his purpose. And God wants you to see Jesus, and he is seeking you out. He's taking the initiative, if you'll look and see, so you would get back to his purpose, because we tend to swim away from him, and we tend to walk away from him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But that's why we have to be patient. That's why a pastor has to be patient. And I'm sure Peter learned patience with people, because many times we waste the Lord's time. But the Lord doesn't give up on you. And he seeks you out because he knows that you can be very productive and very influential. And that's what we see here. And I want you to look at 7 and 8. Look at verses 7 and 8 with me of this same idea of him seeking. It says, "Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord." Now, isn't that interesting? Who did recognize Jesus first, the disciple whom Jesus loved? Do you know why he called himself that? Because he was very humble. John didn't even want to mention his own name. He wasn't vain and proud. So he called himself, but he knew it was the Lord right away. He said, "That's the Lord." Do you know what? I believe the Lord does things for you and you don't even recognize it's the Lord. And you're moaning and groaning and complaining like Jacob did. You know, "All these things are against me, oh God." And you're having pity parties and you don't even see it's the Lord. Lord's working in your life, around your life, you know. It's the Lord. John walked closer than Peter, so he knew it was the Lord. But unfortunately, Peter influenced the younger man away. And it says that it was the Lord. And it says of Peter, look at this in verse 7. "He girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." Now, what does that mean? The coat was like a jacket that the fisherman wore. And he put that unto him. And what that is telling us is that I don't believe he was had no covering at all on his body, of his private parts. But he was naked enough in that certainly his top was exposed, may have been parts of his legs above the knee, and so forth. There is nakedness that's more than just your private parts. It's things that lead up to your private parts that God calls naked. And when you get away from the Lord, it's very easy to dress nakedly. Ladies, don't wear short shorts this summer. Don't wear a bikini and a bra with polka dots on it and put some sand in front of you and think it's all right to go out there in your panties and a bra. It's nakedness. But the world has convinced us it's just fine. But Peter, when the Lord showed up and showed himself, and he knew the Lord was seeking him out, wow, did he get some covering. Do you know that the churches where they're closest to the Lord are the ones that most cover up? Have you noticed America's clothing is not to cover up nakedness, it's to expose it? Well, I'm just saying if you're saved, then God has that plan for your life to show the world how to behave. And so look at the next I'm going to skip down to verse number 9. Let's look at verse number 9. It says, "As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith to them, Bring of the fish which ye have caught." Wow, isn't that great? But wait a minute, where did the fish come from that Jesus had before they caught him? Did you ever think of that? He made the fire, he had the fish, and he had bread. Where'd that come from? By the way, I love the bread my daughter makes. My daughter mills bread. And now my daughters, plural, mill bread, because Mindy's here. And she said, "I want to learn that." And she learned it from Amy, my oldest daughter, and they mill bread. So we get to eat fresh bread. You know the problem with all this gluten stuff and all this is that we don't mill bread anymore. We buy bread that's not real bread. It's not real bread. It's the main parts are taken out of the wheat. And they put preservatives in there and they add things in so you won't die, but they're just like vitamins and stuff they add in. But still it's not good and it's not healthy. The only way to get back to health is to mill your bread. I find that out. I didn't know it. My oldest daughter taught me this. And Miss Angela, you're doing it. And it is a great thing. My oldest daughter has 170, I don't know, something like that. Am I wrong? Is it 70 or 170, 120? I don't know. She has what's called Fresh Air Kids. It's for homeschoolers down there in Florida where she lives. And every so often they have a get together and they go out in the fresh air and they have a good time. And she said, I asked her, I said, why don't you share that with your fresh air mothers, how you mill bread? She said, every one of them are doing it, Dad. Every one of them are doing it. You know, Jesus had bread. It was milled bread, fresh. It was good bread. Not the stuff you get in the store. All of it's bad. I'm just saying they want to make money, so they took stuff out and it's not good. He had bread and fish. Where'd he get the fish? He did it. You know he did it. And you know what that does to a fisherman who's a professional fisherman and catches nothing and who feels like he's a failure? It makes him feel like, wow, how do you do this? I can't do this. But Jesus wanted Peter to listen to him. You know, people listen to numbskulls. And they get bad counsel. Jesus wants you to listen to him. Because he can give you success in life. Physical success, spiritual success, marital success, family success. Yeah, I fail many, many times. Not because of the Lord. It's my numbskull flesh. But I know that he loves me. And he will seek you out to encourage you. And that's what he was doing here with these fish. That Peter, you failed, but come back to me. I can give you success. I don't even want you to be a professional fisherman anymore. I want you to take what you learned in your profession and now be a preacher. And perhaps there's some guy here and God is tugging at your heart to be a preacher. Jesus is tugging at your heart, saying, I want you to be a preacher. And I want you to be trained in Bible college. And I want you to be in boot camp. And I want you to be a preacher. You listen to Jesus. When I was tugged at, I was like, Lord, I see what happens to preachers. I'm scared to be a preacher. But see, I've embraced it. And I can't do anything else. Woe be unto me if I'm not a preacher. And woe be to you if you're called to be a preacher. You try to do something else. Because the Lord trained Peter to be a preacher. And he was going back to be a professional fisherman. I had a deacon in my church. His name was Rick. I remember him. He was like Peter. He was very influential, very neat guy. I enjoyed him. He really did good for our church back in the day. Back in the day. He was married. He had a wife. He was an outgoing guy. The wife was quiet, sweet, quiet. He had a big dog named Muggsy. And he would get discouraged, though. Every so often, he'd get so down. And his wife would say, Pastor, you got to talk to my husband. I'd go over there, and he was down, man. He's a guy who led people. He influenced people. He did become a missionary and a preacher, but he was down. And he would always say, I'm going back to being a lineman, a telephone lineman. That's what he did. I am a lineman for the county. He said, I'm going back. And I'd talk him out of it, you know, and get back. I had another guy. He was a guy that worked with us out at Deer Trail Ranch. He's an old guy. And we were telling him about preaching and going to Scranton. He said, oh, I did that when I was young, a young man. He said, but I got the preach kicked out of me. I got the preach kicked out of me. Maybe you've had the preach kicked out of you. Maybe you've given up on being a fisher of people. I can't be used. You know what? It's pretty simple. Eric Rodriguez, I love his method. He takes a church track and hands it to somebody. Then he takes the church track and he says, now, see on the top it says what? God's way to heaven. And they're listening. God's way to heaven. Okay. Now, what's the first point? All men are sinners. Romans 3:20. He gets them to read it. He reads it. And then number two, there's a price for sin. You have to die because you've earned death. The wage of sin. He explains it. Three, they go down through it, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith shall be saved. Wouldn't you like to be saved and call on the Lord? And they say, yes. And he said, Pastor, you want to pray with him? I said, no, you do it. And he leads them in prayer, and they call upon Jesus. You see, that's what Jesus is seeking you out for, to get saved. And then once you're saved, to get baptized, join a church, yes, but then go out in the fishing boat, out into the water. When I went out in the Atlantic in Florida, I kept looking at the shore, you know, how far are we? And then I couldn't see the shore. We were way out in the Atlantic. I said, are we going to Africa? And then one guy said, maybe the Bahamas, you know. But we were out there. We were out there. God wants you to get out there. And while you're out there in the world, he wants you to take your tracks with you and be a fisher of men. I'm saying the Lord brings you back to your purpose by showing himself to you, by seeking you out. And he sought Peter out, and he told Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? The Lord said, I know. You know I mean, Peter said, Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. You know that. You know all things. You know that. And he said, what? Feed my lambs. In other words, feed the little ones, the young converts, the little kids. Feed them the word of God. You know, more little kids get saved, Cody, than anything else. They get saved when they're young, right? How old are you, Cody? 10 years old. Feed these little ones. Get them saved young. That's when most people get saved. Feed my lambs. Then he said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, second time, you know I love you. You know everything. Feed my sheep. And the idea there is my growing sheep who are saved, but they're learning, they're growing. Then he says a third time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, feed my sheep. And that's speaking of the older, more mature Christians, that you need to lead them and feed them, Peter, the word of God. That's what they need. The word of God. Pastors today need to spend a lot of time studying, a lot of time in the word of God. We're always being distracted. Thank God for deacons who take the distractions off you. Thank God for Brother Steve Gary. He volunteered to do something for me. Didn't work out, but he said, Pastor, it didn't work out, so I'll do it next week if need be. But he volunteered to help out when I was trying to get vans in case a bus fell through, which it did. I'm just saying, deacons help, because the pastor, and Peter was going to be a leader, a pastoral leader, an apostle, need to be ready with the word of God. You need to be able to get something from the word of God. Why did he say it three times? Because Peter denied him three times. And he wanted Peter to know, I'm not done with you. I don't care if you denied me three times. Peter, I've called you to be a preacher. I've invested in you. I believe in you because my grace is going to help you to do it. See, I'm showing you I can do it. That's what the Lord does. He doesn't destroy you. If you're saved, he encourages you to serve him. If you're not saved, he just destroys your self-righteousness so you can look outside of yourself to Jesus. It's that simple. And I want to say, finally, as we conclude, the living Lord brings you back to his purpose, not only by showing himself to you, not only by seeking you out, and he does, but lastly, by sending you back. And look at verse 15 through 17 of John 21, and I'll read it. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And we read that, and you understand that. And then I want you to go on to verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas. Peter was grieved, and so forth. And then verse 18 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. What does that sound like? Like you're going to stretch forth your hand, you're going to be carried. And you know what tradition says? We know it's his death. And he was going to glorify God because he died as a martyr for his preaching gospel. By the way, all the apostles except John died as a martyr, and John was boiled in oil and got out miraculously. They all died. Don't expect if you're feeding the sheep and giving the gospel and trying to get people saved, that this church is not going to have a tax. We will have a tax. You know about it. I know about it. But guess what? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. But we can take the heat. We really can, especially the leaders, because we're trained to do that. And he told Peter right up front, Peter, you're going to die, man, doing this. You're going to die. When you were young, it was nice. But you're going to die. And his wife died. They crucified them both. Peter said when they were crucifying him, he said, this is tradition. He said, I'm not worthy. Sounds like Peter, though. I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Please turn me upside down. And they did. They turned him upside down. But he told them he was going to die. Then Peter, he was an older man, and he's a very sanguine, outgoing person. And those kind of people always love an introverted, quiet person that's very thoughtful and very methodical. So who do you love? Young John. Cody's sitting back with Brother Joe. Perfect combination right back there. Perfect combination. Perfect. Except here the older man is reversed. The older man was the outgoing guy. And the younger guy, John, was a quiet, melancholic temperament. And Peter's like, well, what about John? And the Lord said, what if I want him to be here when I come back and not even die? What if I want to rapture him with me? What if I... Peter, don't worry about that. All you got to do is follow me. Had Peter been doing that? No. Why? Because he was discouraged. Had he been leading John astray? John was with him. If you follow me, Peter, you'll help John. I remember our former pastor, Dr. Wendell Kempton, challenged him with going to Bible college, prepared for the ministry. He said, I would do that. He said, but I have a friend that I want to lead to the Lord, and he's going to be in a college, in a secular college, and I want to be with there to help him. And he was going to study oceanography, or, you know. Well, Wendell Kempton said, hey, Charlie, would you just pray 2 weeks about it? Just ask God what he wants you to do. And Charlie has a whole testimony how the Lord showed himself that he wanted him to go to Bible college, and he could trust him to work with his friend, Leonard, I believe his name was. That's what Jesus was saying. You're worried about John, but you're not helping John. The best way you can help John is get your eyes on me again, Peter, and be encouraged that I'm showing myself to you. I haven't given up on you. I've been seeking you out so I can send you out to do my will. I believe that's why you're here today, to hear a message like this. And the living Lord is bringing you back to his purpose. If you're already saved, to be a fisher of people. If you are not yet sure you're saved, to bring you into the boat of salvation. And you know if he's speaking to your heart, he's knocking. He said, if he's knocking on the door of your heart, you need to open the door. That's all you have to do, and say, Lord, come in, take away my sin, save me from hell, and take me to heaven. Let's bow for prayer. This morning, as we're bowed.